Welcome to today's best podcast ever. I am your host, Jason Barton, and today's date is March 12th. I have with me my cohorts in action.
April Mitchell.
And Chris Scott.
And we've got a bit of talk today about Comic-Cons, video games, entertainment news, with reviews of the FX series Legion, birthdays, and some tech talk. So let's go ahead and start with the Comic-Con.
Alrighty. This will be short, sweet, and to the point, because I've only got a few. So far, the updates I've seen are to C2E2. They have an update to the guest list. Adam Berry and Amy Bruni of Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel are going to be there. And Elizabeth Henstridge from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be there. And they have also finally put up their photo op list, and it is posted with times for the photo ops. So go buy your photo ops if you want to go get your pictures taken at C2E2 with these various media guests. And Indiana Comic-Con has an update. A man by the name of Charles Martinet is going to be there. He's best known for voicing Mario in the Super Mario video game series.
It's a him!
He also voices Baby Mario, Luigi, Baby Luigi, Wario, Waluigi, and Toadsworth. Their panel schedule and film festival schedules are posted for all 3 days. So we're going, what did we decide, Saturday?
Yeah, probably.
So we'll give our reviews of that when we come home on Sunday.
Woo.
And then Motor City Comic Con did have one update. Sean Astin is going to be there.
Woo!
And I did some comparison shopping. Photo ops are the exact same whether I go to Indiana or Motor City. So, that is Comic-Con update. And obviously they're updating the artist pages. And I want to say Indiana has a few writer guests that are there now.
Okay.
So there's just way too many of them to list. So go check that out. It gives an excuse to go look at the website. So that is the Comic-Con updates that I see as of today.
Awesome. So in video game news, my corner, of course, World of Warcraft. Patch 7.2 is still in PTR. So they've made adjustments to the legendaries. Throughput effects, which is like damage, or what you would expect to increase damage, are being added to items that don't have it. They gave an example of the balanced druid boots, which just heal based on Lunar Strike and Solar Wrath, or to grind to have a increase to those two specific abilities by 8% in damage. So they're trying to like balance out all the legendaries. So in doing so, they're going to be also adding secondary stats for non-throughput legendaries that make more sense to have secondary stats. As opposed to actually improving, like, special abilities. Because some items actually don't do that. So, secondary stats is cool. They're going to try to balance the whole entire gameplay. So, expect some other legendaries to get nerfed and others to get boosted. So, other patch 7.2 PTR builds, which is what we've all been waiting for, is the flying achievement. They've changed the shard costs to 2,500. So, there's this another shard thing for this quest that you have to do. They also mentioned Legion Fall Campaign is not going to be necessary for the achievement, which some people were concerned about. The requirements from what we see right now, but this is still PTR, so this can change, is you have to do the first part, which is prior, which is like getting rep with a bunch of things. I actually forgot the quest. It was a bunch of other stuff, but you should already have it done by now, hopefully. Anyways, part two, explore the Broken Shore, just kind of like what we did in Warlords of Draenor, where you have to, like, explore every nook and cranny. Defender of the Broken Isles, there's a complete the demon assault, including these the scenarios. It's what I mentioned last time. So you got a bunch of, like, little quests you got to do in a row. And then you have to reach Revered rep with the Legion Fall factions, or the Legion Fall faction, sorry, specifically. So that's it for that. Other World of Warcraft news, there wasn't really much more. The Glorious Tyranny enchantment glow has been changed to make computer performance improvements because they were kind of having issues with it. I guess they go through and kind of update all the graphics, and apparently they really wanted to get this one done because it kind of looks cool because it looks like it's all red and glowy. So you can make all your swords and axes and stuff look glowy. Anyways, in other video game news, Nintendo doesn't consider dead pixels in a Switch a defect. I need to go check mine. Nintendo's official statement was that small numbers of stuck or dead pixels are a characteristic of LCD screens. So, these are normal and should not be considered a defect. Well, hopefully they will change their minds. I think I saw some pushback from people, and I think Nintendo did give a little. But they, back in 2014, originally had pixel issues with the Nintendo DS, and then they eventually allowed for people to turn them in and get them replaced and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully they'll do that for these Switch users who are unfortunate enough to have dead pixels. Some Nintendo Switch owners are reporting some weird issues with their devices. So there's a reported issue of a blue screen of death, which is speculated to be a part of the one-day patch or a hardware issue. So that sucks. There's also an orange screen, which seems to be more rare, but can be fixed by rebooting your actual Switch. You gotta hold down the power button for a while, and then it'll just restart. So, for people who experience that, hey, you're in luck. There's also another reported issue with the docking. So the docking station is where you put the Switch in, slide down, and slide up, is reported to cause hairline scratches on the screen, which, over time, are starting to cause bigger scratches. And more noticeable scratches. So, yeah. I may be putting some sort of, like, soft, like, padding around the edges of the dock, so long as it still connects to the USB-C port. And the most persistent issue, it seems to be with the connectivity problem with the left Joy-Con controller. Nintendo says that they're looking into this issue, and they believe it's not something on their end. They believe it's probably some other outside device interfering with the Bluetooth. So,
it's always not them.
No, that's what they'd like to think. So, I also have some more Switch news. Who likes Super Smash Brothers?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, it's rumored to be released in fall of 2017, so we may not have to wait too long, and there's supposedly some new characters, or at least a new character. So, but this is all speculation rumor, so we're not sure. Hopefully soon, because that would be the game I'd want to buy.
I want Mario Kart.
That will be released next month.
Next month?
Yep, I already pre-ordered it.
Oh, you're awesome.
So, there's one more thing about Switch that I wanted to point, make a point about. Some people might find this funny, like I do. Switch, probable cause of 50% drop in users to YouPorn. Release day, 17%, 13% on Sunday. So yeah, and also port related searches have gone up for the words Link, Mario, Bowser, and Princess Peach. Anyways, we'll just kind of push that aside. Two Ubisoft games could be FDA approved to treat, now please excuse me, embloyopia, which is commonly known as lazy eye. So I think it's kind of cool. There's two games that Ubisoft has. It's called Rush and Monster Burner, which have some sort of new binocular technology, so that it works with the paired with the AmblioPad device. Oh my gosh, AmblioPad, yeah. Which will help improve visual acuity. So I think that's kind of cool. You can play a video game to help fix your lazy eye. So, you know, for those little poor people. And the last bit of video game news I've got here, I thought this was funny. You gotta take it on what it is, because this is the Onion making fun of a report. But a study was published by the University of North Carolina found that exposure to violent children, mind you, causes increased aggression in video game characters.
Okay.
Okay, in quotes, our research shows that the video game characters who regularly spend time with violent youth show a far greater propensity to act out destructivity of themselves, said the lead author, Will Garland. After examining video game characters among many genres of video games, they found consistently higher levels of antisocial conduct those that frequently engage with aggressive children. So that's a play on the, but it really is this research. Anyways, that's all I got for video game news. let's go to the world of DC and Legion.
No,
what other news do we have together?
Well, first I'll hit my little entertainment news. Last night was the official release from the Kids' Choice Awards of the newest trailer for Wonder Woman, and it is starting to look even more awesome. They went more into her, like, the childhood Diana, you know, Princess Diana, which kind of looks a little interesting, because now I've seen people have already posted up, they've gotten a combination of all the, you know, young justices together. In other words, the young version of Clark, Bruce, and then now Diana together. You know, just like snippet, snippet, snippet. But this behind the, you know, this kind of like early one now, it kind of looks pretty good. It's more backstory. You know, you see more of her time on the island before she actually, you know, heads to Britain and goes, you know, for World War One and all that, but that looks pretty good. So if you haven't had a chance, take a look at that, and it's going to get even more exciting, I think, for Wonder Woman. Outside of that, I just want to get into, and this is about halfway done.
Did they make any references to the Invisible Jet?
Not that I've seen so far.
Ah. Okay.
So we will see. I mean, all I've seen so far is her, the God Slayer sword, that's what I think the name of it is. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome looking. I've already seen the bracelets, the magic lasso, the golden lariat, I should say, and all of that. So it looks like it's going to be pretty good stuff. But yeah, that's going to be good. Other than that, I just want to go ahead and jump into Legion. Now, oddly enough, this is a Marvel property. And it is on, you know, not ABC. It's on FX. So that's even more. Yes. And I mean, God willing, you know, it probably would not have survived very well if it was on, you know, if they wouldn't have been able to do half of what they've done if they were to do it on a popular channel like Fox or ABC or something like that. So this show. Okay, I will give you the quick synopsis of the TV show itself. For starters, it's on Wednesday night on FX at 10 o'clock. It is based on the comic by Chris Claremont and Bill Sienkiewicz. I actually looked up the spelling of that. First appeared in New Mutants issue 25 in March of 85. Okay, here's the show's official synopsis. David Heller, which is played by the brilliant Dan Stevens, is a troubled young man diagnosed with schizophrenia for years. He's currently now in his early 30s. He's now institutionalized and living a normal routine until he meets this girl that shows up named Sid. And there's just this kind of closeness, but not close with him, or he's just attracted to her. And then by the time the end of the first episode hits, they kind of share a startling encounter, as they call it, after which David must confront the shocking possibility that the voices he hears and the visions he sees may actually be real. Yeah. So that kind of makes it a little bit exciting right there. So looking into that, you know, the show itself, I mean, I didn't hear about this much at all in the beginning, and then I just heard about it, and I'm like, what is this crap that I'm watching? And I'm kind of hooked on it. I'm very much kind of hooked on it. Now, the actual comic character itself is the son of Gabriella Haller and Professor Charles Xavier. So he's actually the son of Professor X. Yeah. He doesn't know this, though. You know, he had a thing with Gabriella at one time about 20-some years ago, at least in the comic stories, and he didn't know anything about it. He actually doesn't know about his own son for quite a few years. Haller, David, as a kid, his mother becomes the Israeli ambassador. when he's young, like 6 or 7, there's an assassination attempt on her, on his mother. So what happens is that whole stressful interaction right there, he sees his stepfather killed, and that's when his mutant ability activates. And what he did, what is, what's the first thing that he does? Well, it's a group of Israelis that are Israeli terrorists that are trying to come and assassinate his mother, murders his stepfather. He incinerates the brains of all the assassins.
Holy cow!
And while he did that, he telepathically connected to each and every one of them and experienced their thoughts and emotions as they died. Think about how trippy and freaked up that is. It's just like, I'm going to kill you. And it's like, oh my God, I feel exactly what you're feeling right now. And it's just, what? But then, this is of course in the stories. This is the comics. So what happens is, at the very end, he actually takes on the consciousness of the leader of the assassins, is absorbed into his mind. And it took quite a long time for the consciousness of this terrorist, we're going to call him Karami, that's his last name, Karami, to separate from David's mind. And he tried to basically gain power over David and realize that he could take over one of David's abilities. And Karami was basically able to have a telekinetic power. Telepathy. Sorry. So he could then telepathically feel everybody else that was around David. So this personality in his head could then use telepathy. And as David got older or came into different situations, he would gain more mutant abilities. Telekinesis, pyrokinesis, time manipulation, strength, transmute objects and enemies into salt. I mean,
neat.
When you want to talk about the salt of the earth, it's like, okay, I just made you the salt right there. And so the official description is he is an Omega level mutant on par with like Iceman and the Phoenix Force inside of Jean Grey. And he's just that powerful because he has all of these split personalities. He's basically got DID, you know, dissociative identity disorder. And each of these personalities has a different power. And one time Rogue actually switched spots. Or you know how Rogue is able to take their powers. She stated once when she was inside Legion, she was connected to thousands of types of powers and there were more being born all the time. David is just that powerful of a character. And to see them do their own newer version of it, a popular version of it, is kind of interesting. And I've been watching the show and it's just like you watch it and quite literally you are getting mind fucked. You are getting mind fucked hardcore every single week you watch this. And I mean, I know of a few people on the cast. Dan Stevens, great actor playing the lead. Aubrey Plaza plays his, institution mate slash, well, you kind of see her pop up here more and more there and there. And then all the people that are trying to help him have these odd, quirky little abilities. And I mean, you've got like another telepath. You've got, a couple of telepaths. You've got, somebody that's like a dual identity. It's like they've got like the scientific side and then they've got the ass kicking side. And it's like they switch bodies or like, you know, one body within the other body. It's kind of interesting. If you've not watched it, take a watch the first episode. I mean, I just see people putting stuff up about Legion, and it is just so freaking trippy. This first season is only 8 episodes long, and right now we're at episode 5. 6 starts this, 6 is this Wednesday, so we're almost done, and it's just like, after episode 5, you're just, after this last week, and you're just like, what? And you almost have to watch it twice. I mean, I've watched, except for this last one, I've watched every episode twice, and I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? It is just weird. It is just trippy beyond all levels of trippy. So if you like mutants, if you like things that are going to screw up your mind, watch this series. Again, FX, Wednesday nights, 10 p.m., an immediate reshowing right after that. If your mind is not ready or engaged for some really crazy-ass shit, record it and watch it the next day. I'm just gonna say that. Record it and watch the next day. I know the first episode was like an hour, close to an hour 20, hour 30. And I'm like, once it got to an hour 15, I'm like, forget it. I'm watching the rest of it in the morning. I can't do this, people. And of course that first episode, that last 15 minutes was the most balls out part of the episode. So. It's a good show. If you know, definitely give it a watch. I would love to see just any one of the people come out to one of the conventions, any one of them. It would be great. So that's something I'm hoping to possibly see in the future. Otherwise, go check out the show.
So, just a quick question. Yes. How much CGI is in it that you've actually noticed? Like, is it a pretty good budget or? Like,
okay, it's a good budget. There is some CGI, especially there's one scene that you will see in the first episode. Basically, he's in a kitchen and he's having a fight with his girlfriend and just everything, he's in the middle of the kitchen and everything just kind of goes, oh, and you just see everything in the kitchen just kind of flying around him. So yeah, there is definitely a budget. They actually did pay up for a nice budget on this show. So,
fantastic.
I'm very impressed. I know it's kind of shocking, but the show is produced. The first episode was written and directed by the guy who is co-working on Fargo. So if you've ever watched Fargo on FX, you kind of already know how that kind of thinking is. So that's something to check out. So cool. It's good stuff.
I'm gonna add to my list.
Yes.
So, in terms of other lists, of the type of maybe birthdays.
What you got? All I have to say about half of this list is, holy Harry Potter birthdays, Batman. You'll understand in a minute. March 12th, we have Jamie Alexander, born 1984. I know her best as Sif in Thor. Thor the Dark World, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then also we have Aaron Eckhart, born 1968. He was Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight. March 13th, we have William H. Macy, born 1950. He's in the movie Fargo, Jurassic Park 3, Pleasantville, Wild Hogs. He was Matthew McConaughey in Sahara. I love that movie. He was the Shoveler in Mystery Men. Mm-hmm. He was in Down Periscope and Mr. Holland's Opus. That's just a few. Now we have Harry Melling, born 1989 in London, England. He played Dudley Dursley in the Harry Potter movies. Mm-hmm. March 14th, I have three. One's more of an honorable mention than anything, because I just put his name and birthday. March 14th, Albert Einstein was born in 1879. And he died April 18th, 1955. Very smart man. Michael Caine was born in 1933. He's Alfred in The Dark Knight, Batman Begins. Cutter in The Prestige. He's in Now You See Me 1 and 2. He's in Kingsman, The Secret Service. A movie I like called Stonehurst Asylum. He was in Secondhand Lions. I love that movie. He's Nigel Powers in Austin Powers and Goldmember. Victor Melling in Miss Congeniality and Royer Collard in Quills. And he was Scrooge in The Muppets Christmas Carol. That's my favorite Muppets movie. And then you have Billy Crystal, born 1948. I loved him best as Miracle Max in The Princess Bride. He is the voice of Calcifer in the English version of Howl's Moving Castle. Forgot the S. He's in City Slickers and City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold. And he's Morty the Mime in This is Spinal Tap.
Have fun storming the castle.
March 15th, we've got Kellan Lutz, born 1985. He's best known as Emmett Cullen in the Twilight movies. He was also Hercules in The Legend of Hercules in the 2014 movie. And then we have Sean Biggerstaff, emphasis on the I. Born 1983, I know him best as Oliver Wood in the first two Harry Potter movies, and he was uncredited in the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Ah.
March 16th, Alan Tudyk. Did I say that right? Born 1971. He's Wash in Serenity in the Firefly series. He's K-250 in Rogue One, a Star Wars story. And in Transformers, Dark of the Moon, he's Dutch. And I loved him as Watt in A Knight's Tale.
A Watt.
Pain. Lots of pain.
Love that movie. I fucking love that movie.
Oh, me too. Okay. So then also March 16th is Jerome Flynn, who was born in 1963 in Bromley, Kent, in England. He's Bronn in the Game of Thrones. We like Bronn. Bronn's a family man now. That won't last. March 17th, we've got Kurt Russell, born 1951. The computer wore tennis shoes, escaped from New York, and he escaped from L.A. In The Fox and the Hound, he was the voice of Copper. He was in The Thing, Overboard, Captain Ron. He was Wyatt Earp in Tombstone. He was Stuntman Mike in the Death Proof segment of Grindhouse. And apparently he is Ego in the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. And then we've got John Boyega, born 1992 in Peckham, London, England. He is Finn in Star Wars The Force Awakens. Also on this day, I have an honorable mention. Gary Sinise is born in 1955. I loved him as Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump, but he was in a lot of other stuff. March 18th, Brad Dourif, D-O-U-R-I-F, born 1950. Didn't realize who this guy was at first. Because he was Grima Wormtongue in The Lord of the Rings of the Two Towers. But apparently he's Peter DeVries in Dune and Billy Bibbit in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Huh. I remember Billy. Billy was a sweet kid. And then we have Sophia Miles, born 1980 in London, England. She's Freya in the Outlander movie. Darcy Terrell in Transformers Age of Extinction. Erica in Underworld and Underworld Revolution, Isolde in Tristan and Isolde, and for all of the Doctor Who fans out there, who doesn't love the girl in the fireplace?
Yes, yes, yes.
She is the girl in the fireplace.
Oh, very much so. Love that one.
Rainette, R-E-I-N-E, Rainette. And she's also Victoria Aberline in the movie I Like From Hell. So, love her. Happy birthday to her. And those are our birthdays. Now, do you see why I said, holy Harry Potter birthdays, Batman?
Very much so.
They're like one little chunk right there.
And, you know, April, I will tell you something, and I don't know if this had something to do with the input you'd gotten, but you know what? I like the birthdays the way that they are right now. Not the way that you did it last week. You know, it was very short, very impersonal. You have your passion for your people. I like it.
I don't want to drag on and, you know, get boring and list everything they've ever done. I'm trying to keep it to specifically geeky themed things that people have been in. So,
and I agree with you. I just wanted to put that out there for yourself and the other listeners. It's just April loves her birthdays. Let's keep them.
April doesn't have much else besides her birthdays.
Oh, April.
I'm just putting that out there.
I'm
going to put a lot out there. I put a lot out there, Liz.
We're putting it out there.
Put it all out there. So speaking of putting it all out there, WikiLeaks unveils Vault 7, the largest publication of confidential CIA documents they've ever published, ever. I think anybody has, actually. Which is going to lead to, I'm sure, a lot of internal investigation. Anyways, so smart TVs, iPhones, and gaming consoles, and many other gadgets can be turned into open microphones, which is what was released, or revealed, I should say, in these documents. Every PC in the world could have spyware activated using the Windows Update feature. Ooh, that's
I have heard this.
Evil and sinister in many different ways, but, you know, I guess as long as they're using it for good, not going away.
And that's the thing, people are going to worry that they're not using it for good.
Right. When there's the power to corrupt, yeah, it can be misused. Anyways, I thought that was interesting, because, you know, we see all these confidential things. Thanks, WikiLeaks. Yeah, Assange, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. In this country. Anyways, latest research has found that the daylight savings time, which we all experience this morning, has either minuscule or non-existent effects on energy use, which is what they intended to have it use in the first place and why we have it around. It can, however, be harmful to our health and cost us money. I'm sure we've all heard lots of reports on this, which is probably true. They are true, because there are stats. Car accidents, strokes, and heart attacks spike in the days after the March time change.
Mm-hmm.
It has also been found, which is what I found it interesting, that judges sleep-deprived by daylight savings impose harsher sentences. So everybody, keep your noses clean for at least the next week or two while those judges get a little bit more rest to make up for this daylight savings time. Okay. In other daylight savings time news, which is related, Montana is looking to end its daylight savings time. Grassroots surveys of Montana farmers and ranchers oppose daylight savings time because they have to sync their work to the sun rather than a clock, which I've heard, like, years in the past, which is why it's, like, never good for farmers, because, you know, they live by the sunrise and sunset. So what's daylight savings time to them? It just causes issues with them having to plan their days differently because, you know, certain events, like, areas and businesses and all that kind of stuff are time, you know, sensitive. So, all right. And I really don't have much more. I thought this was interesting, so I'm going to talk about it. The U.S. military unveils its new firearm called Rambo. Rapid, additively manufactured ballistics ordnance, which is a 3D printed grenade launcher.
Oh, that's so Rambo.
Oh, yes.
Sorry,
so everybody,
I know the name.
Pull out your 3D printers and start printing out everything minus the springs and fasteners for your grenade launchers. Even parts of the grenades are 3D printed with this. So, which can actually change warfare, because, you know, all you have to do is haul around this machine and you can start printing out weapons.
Oh my god, I'm looking at it right now. That is ridiculous.
Yeah. I thought
it's,
it was awesome.
It's all 3D printed, but a couple of the pieces?
Yeah.
Oh. Hence my epic Boondock Saints quote. Is that so, Rumble?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, I couldn't hold it in. It was too perfect.
But I don't blame you.
Yeah. That's all I really saw in the news that was, like, worth mentioning, at least for me, and I thought it would be interesting for you guys, because there's just a lot of, like, CIA and Royal stuff, and WikiLeaks and mm-hmm. more stuff. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Well, I guess yesterday or the day before was Anton Yelchin's birthday, and I realized it had been a year since he had died.
Yeah.
And we were getting ready to record the podcast last year, and we found out he died.
I remember.
I do have one other thing I wanted to add real quick. I don't remember mentioning this, but I don't know. I don't think we did it in the podcast. I remember reading it like a couple weeks ago. But you know that Amazon case where the Alexa was the investigator or whatever wanted to get information from the Alexa whether or not it had recorded any important information because of one guy who got murdered in his house or whatever, and they figured out that, like, the killer had used water or something because they were able to get the water timing from the meters to tell that they had actually – he probably used water to clean up the murder scene or whatever. So on top of that, there was this information that they wanted from Alexa to see if Alexa had recorded anything because, you know, it's always listening at all times. So apparently they got – it like Amazon was going to fight back because, you know, nobody wanted them to release that kind of information because I wouldn't want them to, the government to know what my Alexa's recording. Like right now, Alexa is probably listening to me.
All the things we've said to Alexa.
Yeah. Oh my God. And the thing is, actually, whatever you say to Alexa and you've actually uttered the word, it's got it recorded. If you look at your, you have the app and you look at your history, it's got it recorded.
But what are the chances the guy yelled, Alexa, I'm being murdered, help me?
Yeah, exactly.
Good job.
Okay.
Way to set her off.
Anything that will not be named ever again.
Those who did not know now do. We own an Echo.
Mm-hmm. Like, what are the odds that somebody has said,
don't say it.
Like, hey, Alexa, I'm being murdered. The guy is 5 feet tall, has brown hair, looks white. I mean, come on. I mean, but there might be something. I mean, like, it's always good to investigate all possible routes. So, but it, the information ended up getting handed over because the guy who owned the Alexa agreed, who apparently wasn't the murder suspect, or the family maybe agreed to it. Somebody agreed. And so Amazon's like, well, if you guys have, you know, the correct, you know, authorities to do this, we're just going to go ahead and give it to you and not even fight the fact that, you know, police could ask for it. So it'll have to be fought another day. So I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, so I think it was, Simon Pegg posted something on Facebook for his birthday, and it was very sad, and that made me think, it was a year ago, you know, pretty much today, that he died.
Not to the day. Oh, okay.
But, yeah. So, it was pretty sad.
Yeah.
His birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we just found that information before we recorded that podcast, and we were all shocked by it.
So, happy posthumous birthday, Anton Yelchin, as of yesterday. I know I said something about it on my birthdays, but
yep.
It was worth mentioning.
We still love you, Anton.
That's right. You are amazing, even from the beyond. So, my usual spiel. Come listen to us on our website, www.ingloriousgeeks.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. On Facebook, we are Inglorious Geeks. On Twitter, we are Inglorious_Geek. Instagram, Inglorious Geeks 3. And just recently, I think it was last night, I discovered that I have Snapchat as Inglorious Geeks, so I gotta get that information. Huh. So yeah, Snapchatting was fun last night. Anyways, we are the Inglorious Geeks, so sit down.
Shut up.
And roll initiative.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
I'm going to go eat Italian food.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Right?
Yeah. And be sure if you're getting murdered, yell to Alexa exactly who it is that is murdering you.
And pray they don't smash Alexa.
I misread the article. Well, I recollected it wrong. It's actually the defendant, his own Alexa. And they wanted to see if it recorded his conversations at the time.
Oh, the guy being accused of the murder?
Yeah. So.
Even better.
Probably not him. I think he's probably not going to have to worry about it. Or, well, who knows?
Burn, baby, burn.
Yeah. Just like 3D printed grenade launcher.
Grenade launchers.
Oh, that's like the best thing. What's his name? The one who's in Walking Dead. Who plays Daryl?
Oh, you said his birthday.
Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus, yeah. That's probably the best line I've ever heard him say was, is that Sol Rumbo? And, anyways, I've already said it.
Yeah, we're really gone now.
I'm going to go eat the best Italian food in the world.
All right. I also say 7 days. Don't do anything that puts you in front of a judge. All right. Good day.
Later.